So we have in the parsha this week the mitzvah of Hagala and Tfilas Kelim. They come together. So we'll have a good Hagalas Kelim Shaila. There's not so many great Hagalas Kelim Shailas, but this is a good one that led to a big machlokas in Eretz Yisrael over the last few decades, and a kind of a fascinating conclusion, which we'll talk about Rabbi Belsky and Rabbi Weiss at the end. But let's proceed. So in the last few decades, a new phenomenon developed in the processing of industrial kitchenware, where factories would apply fats, oils, grease to the manufacturing of the metals. We'll explain why in a second. It would be helpful for it to be more efficient in, you know, flattening the metal and shaping it. The tooling, the polishing, things like that were all necessary to have certain types of oils and fats in being involved. And they would spread it on the machinery to help it move quicker. And we'll talk about this in a second, but what exactly is in those oils and those fats that is getting involved inside the pans and the pots and the cutlery that we're buying? And the minhag of many people in Eretz Yisrael nowadays is to do hagala on new pots and pans from the store. It's all one and the same process. You go to the store, you buy a pot, you buy a pan, you bring it to a Hagalas Kelim Center, Hagalas Kelim Mahadran Center, they take care of it for you, get it back, and then you go do Tfilas Kelim. It's all, we think, oh, I bought something, I gotta go to the mikvah, I have to bring it there, it's gonna be a big schlep. There, the schlep is twice as much. First, the Hagalas Kelim guy, and then to the mikveh afterwards in order to do tefillah. However, as I can see by the expression on your faces, this is not done in America, and it's not something we're familiar with, and we'll have to explain why the difference between Eretz Yisrael and America. Why have most Americans not heard of this concept that you bring your Kelim to the Hagalah? Just one thing. In Eretz Yisrael, Hagalas Kelim is much more common than in America, just percentage-wise. And therefore, you will find almost professional centers that will do Hagalas Kelim L'Mahadrin, with all of the chumras and kept on, gas burners, keeping these giant barrels, you know, pumping with heat, so they're constantly boiling the whole time. They do it on a much better level, because we do Hagalas Kelim like once a year by Pesach, and maybe a second time of the year if you mess something up really badly in your kitchen. So we don't do it that often. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's really more of an endeavor. We have to explain the metzias and the halacha regarding the production of new pots and pans that we buy in the store. So let's give the basic background. The Shulchan Aruch discusses Hagalas Kelim in two places. One is Nor HaChaim and Simen Tov Shin Alef, that's the halachas of Pesach. And then the end of Yerodea, the end of Basar B'chal B'Sar V'Hetzer in Yerodea and Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph. And there we have the mitzvah of Hacharas Kelim, and the kli should be kashered if it was going to be used, if it was already used for chametz, or you traced it up in your kitchen in some way. But it seems to be clear, if I buy something new from the store that was never used before, why would I have to bring it to the mikvah? I would never have to do hagala on that. We assume it's kosher. The brand new kli was not used with something not kosher before that I bought it. And the rules of hagala are based on the principle of kibbalah kach polto. That is Yerodea 101. However, it absorbs the same way that it spits it out. So if the kli absorbs the food, whatever it is, through direct heat, then you need to do liba. You need to use direct heat to remove it. And if it absorbs it through the process, b'mtos hamayim, through the process of liquid, a pot that you cook with liquid inside of it, so then in that case, you can use hagala of boiling hot water to get it out at the end of the day. A kli cheres, something earthenware, we know cannot be a kosher in any way. So this is something that's more for wood and for metal. That's point number one. Point number two is that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and in Daf Ayin Hey, Amud Beis, and the Shulchan Aruch in two places tell us the following rule. And that is that really, when a bliya, when a flavor goes into a pot, so it is only usher ben yomo in the first 24 hours. After a flavoring, after a bliya has gotten into a pot, after 24 hours, it's considered to become pugum, no longer have a proper taste anymore. It's essentially gone stale, and therefore it's not usser anymore. And really, if you trafe up your pot, 24 hours later, you're technically allowed to go and eat out of that pot. There's not a problem, because the taste, whatever isser is in that pot now, is now going to be bad and not edible, so to speak, after 24 hours. But the Gemara says that Chazal made a gzeira dindar abanan, that how are you going to know the difference, right? You're going to have a special, it's bad enough, we have fleishig labeling and milchig label, right? And you have the red for the fleishigs and you have the blue for the milchigs. And now, you're going to have a third one. You're going to have a third color and a fourth color for my fleishig non ben yom apat and my milchig non ben yom apat. So I should know this one is okay, but this one's not okay. And on my cabinets will be out of control, and the stickers are going to fall off, and the stickers are going to go onto this one. Everything's going to be ridiculous. So Chazal said, too confusing. Just kasher everything, even after 24 hours, even if it's been, you know, months. Still, maybe after a year, there's other kulas, but certainly after a few months, still, we kasher it because of a gezeirah d'rabbanan that we don't want to go and mix up the kalim. So we kasher einu ben yom kalim as well at the end of the day. And those are the basics in your adeya. I guess you have like 2% of smicha right now, and that's pretty much what you need to know for these types of things. Comes the Chaznish in Orach Chaim in Siman Kuf Yates, and again your adeya in Siman Mem Dal, and he has a big chiddush. He says that a metal kli that's new, and in the manufacturing process, they rubbed it with dissolved animal fats, oils, things like that, and the kli was hot. It was yad so lettuce bow. We're talking about, you know, glowing hot metal at some point, and there's fats and oils being involved in it. So those fats go into the kli. It absorbs the kli no different if you were cooking on the stove. And therefore they need hagala before you use it in your house. That's what the Chaznish paskins. And he says that hagala is enough, and it doesn't need libun, and that'd be sufficient. Even if they did it through libun in the manufacturing plant, since this is a bit of a chumra, he says, I recognize this is a chumra, so it's okay, you can just do hagala as well on this. They say that in the Chazanish's later part of his life, Reb Chaim Kanievsky quotes this in the Talmud Zakra and the Orchos Rabbeinu Chela Gimel, that he was makbid to do libun on new metal kalim. He would get new, whatever, I don't know how often the Chazanish went to Bed Bath and Beyond, but whenever he went, you know, he would be makbid that he would do libun on it, not just hagala. This he did towards the end of his life. In addition, Ritzi Pesach Frank in the Har Tzvi Nir Adeya, in Siman Kuf Yud, he says that even though they rub the kli with the fats of the non-kosher animals, it doesn't need libun, because when the fats are rubbed into the metal, it's not done over a fire. It's not mamish over a burning fire. And therefore, hagala would be sufficient to kasher it. Right? The pasuk says, kol davar asher yavo ba'esh tavir ba'esh. In the manufacturing of the pot, it's not ba'esh. It's hot, but it's not ba'esh. And that's the pasuk we have in this week's parsha. So let's discuss now the two sides. Again, I assume nobody here kashers their new pants. Is that correct? This might be the first time you heard this before. So we're going to have to discuss those who are machmir, what exactly their reasons are, what they think the metzias is, and those of us who are mekel, and what we think the halach is, and what we think the metzias is. So let's begin with the machmir, because it'll be more fun to the mekel, and you'll see. So who agrees with the chaznish? We're not talking about small players over here. Rav Nissen Karelts in the Chod Shani, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach and Alicho Shlomo and Shuvas Mincha Shlomo, Rav Shmuel Vazner in his Torah General Beis Levi, Rav Yisrael Yaakov Fisher who is the Dine of the Edech Haredis and Alicho Seven Yisrael, Rav Al Yashiv in the Sefer HaKashrus in Perachav Gimel, Rav Moshe Sternbach in Modem Mizvan in Perachelik Dalid, the Sefer Kinyan Torah Bahalacha, Levushe Od, Rav Shlomo Zalman Arbach, son Rav Azul Arbach, and the Birchas Ruven Shlomo all say that new kalim from the store must be sent to be kashered. This is also the opinion of the Badatz Edech Haredis, the biggest and most significant kashrus organization in Eretz Yisrael. They write in their Madrich LaKashrus that you must do hagal on new kalim before they are used. And this goes for aluminum and stainless steel, because they're rubbed with oil, and therefore we have to be concerned that this oil is usser. New kalim that need tefillah, the halacha is, and this is a shiur for another time, need hagala before tefillah. The order is hagala, then tefillah. If you reverse it in this case, says the Badatz Edech Haredis, it's okay. Because again, everybody acknowledges we're dealing with a chumrah, but they think it's a proper chumrah to keep, to go and do hagala first, and then tefillah afterwards. Rav Nissen Karel says that, animal-based oils are not the only oils in the world. We all cook with vegetable oils. So why do I assume that it's animal-based oils when they make these productions of the pots and pans? Because he says every factory is different, and as long as we don't know what type of oils are being used, even though the oils may be pugam, and they may not be good for human consumption, nevertheless, the Chaznish felt that one should kasher them first. The Mishabur writes in Siman Tafton Aleph by Hagalas Kalim that there's a suffix whether the guy used the kli or not. Let's say I got a new kli. But something about, I have a suffix. Maybe it was used beforehand. Maybe it was used in some form by a non-Jew. You have to kasher it. So says Rav Nissen Carell, it's the same thing. I have a suffix what the status of this kli, how it was used was. So the Mishnah Berurah agrees that we should go now and bring it for Hagala. New Kalim didn't need Hagala because we had a chazaka that the guy didn't use it. But nowadays, the chazaka is no longer there. Because we know in some form that there might be some possibility that non-kosher fats are being rubbed into the kli in its manufacturing. Regarding the claim that oil used for the process are pugim, the halacha is pugim, something is not good, doesn't have a good taste, so then it doesn't impart blias arasa, right? We discussed this a few weeks ago when we discussed the dishwashers. If you had a fleishig of milchiks in the dishwasher and the stream hits it and you have like cholent and whatever milchiks together, so we said there that if the first cycling of the dishwasher runs with soap, so we have nothing, everything is fine. Because soap is pugim, it's not a positive taste. So the same thing over here. So you'll tell me the oils are pugim. So Rav Asher Lunzer is a posek in Eretz Yisrael. He has a sefer Madani Asher and Isser V'Hetzer. So he says he spoke with the experts and he clarified that the oils are good oils, but there are ingredients that are added to them. There's sand and there's pieces of silica that are added to it in order to be abrasive in the processing when they manufacture them. And therefore he says, since the oil itself has a good taste, but I added particles into it, make it not a good taste, the positive taste of the oils are still going into the kli. The sand and the silica is not going in, but the positive and the neutral taste of the oils are going into the kli, and therefore they need Hagala. Rav Yeshua Heschel Adler, in his Yeshua's Kohen on Hagala's Kalem, he says that most of these ingredients don't come from animals. I agree, he says. It's not mostly animal fats. But most of the kelim are manufactured in places where there's no hashkacha. We don't know exactly what's going on in each factory. Nobody's keeping track of the process and how they switch the oils around. And therefore, new kelim need hagala. It's not possible to have a heksha on these things. You're going to send a mashkiach to every single, I don't know the name of any pot manufacturers, but whatever, you're going to send a mashkiach to every single factory around in Europe and China and Japan and America, all over the place, it's not something we're going to do. So we're not going to have mashkichim there, know what's going on. And therefore, we just have to kash them afterwards. Yitzhak Rubin, the Rav in Har Nof, so he says that in the past, they did use animal fats and oil that were not pugim, and therefore there was a great need for Hagala. But over time, the manufacturing switched to plant-based oils, but there are still factories that use animal-based oils. And therefore, min hadin, you're right. New kelim don't need hagala, but it's a good thing. It's a proper chumra, he says, to bring your new kelim to the hagala lemahadrin, or to do in your own house, and to kasher them there. So those are not insignificant opinions. We have listed from a number of significant poskim who think that all new kelim need to be kasher before it. Now, just as a side point, how do you kasher these kelim? What are we asking to be done? Because we admit that it's a chumra. Does that mean if I buy a frying pan, I have to now go and fill up a whole pot and dunk it into a giant frying pan? Is that a giant pot? Is that what we're saying? So there are three opinions of how to kasher them. The first is Rav Nissen Carell in the Chutshani. Rav Nissen Carell says, you should do a full Hagala. You should remove all the stickers. Now, there is a practice among some people for Hidurim in Hagalas Kalim, to remove handles and then to put them back on. If the handles can be unscrewed and screwed back on, that's considered a good hiddur, because how do you know everything's going to get inside if the handles are squeezed together so tightly? He says, I'm not making you do that over here, but it should be a regular hagala, and that would be fine. And then even if you made a mistake, let's say I cooked with it, and I forgot to do hagala, still do hagala afterwards, and that's the right thing to do. Rav Vosner says, you should dip the new kelim in boiling water. And he says, this is the opinion of most poskim as well, who are machmir. You don't have to unscrew the handles. Maybe you should maybe loosen them. But you should do a full hagala. Now, what if we're dealing with industrial-sized kelim? Let's say you're running a commissary. Let's say you have huge pots. So how do you kasher these things? So he says, in this case, usually it wouldn't be an issue. Because hopefully, you wouldn't think it's new. Why would I have to kasher it? I'm going to use it for kosher food. So he says, but in this case, what you should do is you should fill it up with boiling water and let it overflow with the boiling water, and that's shita number one. Kasher it fully like you would kasher any clay. The second shita is the Avnei Yashpa, Rav Yisrael Pesach Feinhandler. So he writes in Chelek Beis that Rav Yashiv told him that it only needs on the inside. All the animal fats are used on the inside of the kli. So what you do is just boil up the kli on the inside once, dump the water out, and you're fine. But that would be sufficient. The third sheet is Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach. In the Halicha Shlomo on Pesach, Rosh Shlomo Zalman would do it like a type of Liban Kal, like a kind of baking it. How would he do this? He would put some water into the kli so it wouldn't burn, and then he would boil a little bit for a minute on the fire, and then he would put it into a hot oven, like a hug oven that you would do Liban on, 500 degrees for like an hour, and he would put it inside, and that's how he would do it. So that was his shita. So those are the three possibilities of how you would kasher it according to these poskim. So let's discuss those of us who feel that there's no need for Haggalah, and we're going to bring six reasons. We're going to bring six reasons why it's not a problem. We'll do a little trip through Yoredeya to explain the six reasons. Some of the reasons are here in the Minchas Asher, Chelek Gimel, the Rav Asher Weiss is a tshuva, and from other places as well. So who are the Mekilim? So you can confidently go home tonight and say, I have significant poskim who tell me that my kelim were kosher when I got them. The Minchas Yitzchak, Dayan Weiss and Chelek Dalet, Rav Yaakov Bloy, Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos, the Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Yud Beis and Chelek Yud Ches, Rav Moshe Feinstein, who's quoted in the Ole Yeshurin, in Chelek Aleph and Perek Dalet, Rav Adi Yosef in the Abiyomer Chelek Vav, Rabbi Belsky in his Shulchan Halevi Chelek Aleph, Rabbi Abadi in the Or Yitzchak Chelek Aleph, Yerdei Simchav Gimel, and Rav Asher Weiss in the Minchas Asher, Chelek Gimel, Simen Samech Zayin. All feel that there's no reason to do Haggalah on new kelim, and it's a mutter lechadchila, not even like a good chumrah, no reason to do it at all. It's 100% fine. And they essentially argue that the blios, whatever tastes are coming in for those fats and those oils, are pugum, and they're not for human consumption. So let's begin. Reason number one, the Rama. The Rama writes in the Torah Sachatas, which is his pre-work on Yoredeya before the Shulchan Aruch, and the Pre-Megadim writes in Yoredeya in Siman Kuf Gimel, that when Chazal said that we do Haggalah on a tam pugim of an Eina ben Yomo, a pot that hasn't been used for 24 hours. Right? So you went to Bed Bath & Beyond, and your pot touched that Chazer Schmaltz that it was made in the factory 6 months ago. It's Eina ben Yomo, right? So the Rama says that only applies when the blios had a good taste, they went into the kli, and then they got stale over time. But if blios went in with a bad taste, so then we don't say that a dover pugum, that's Eina ben Yomo, needs to be kashered. You hear the difference between the two? Right? I'm not saying it had good chazer schmaltz taste first, and then it went bad. Bad taste went into it initially. The oil doesn't taste good. Well, we will confirm in a moment that the oil doesn't taste good, and therefore it doesn't need Haggalah. And Rav Menashe Klein says the same thing as well. Reason number two, Rav Moshe Feinstein is a big chiddush in the Ole Yeshurun. This is not in the Tshuvas, this is quoted by his Talmidim in the Ole Yeshurun. Rav Moshe Feinstein says that there's no gzeira that you have to kasher an Eina ben Yomo pot because you may come to mix it up with a ben Yomo pot in a place where it's not possible to use it on that day as a ben Yomo. Meaning, when is it possible to mix it up? In my kitchen, I have pots that I could potentially turn around that day and use it, right? I trafed up a pot, and then 2 hours later, I could forget about it and go back and use that pot, right? That would be, that's where we want to mix it up and mess up, right? But says Rav Moshe, that pot was trafed up. If we're going to agree for a second that it was trafed up 6 months ago in the factory, there was no possibility ever that pot was going to be used that day to cook something else. It wasn't going to happen. It's impossible that the guy's going to pull a pan offline. Oh, I didn't make breakfast this morning, so let me make eggs right now for off the factory line. That's not going to happen. So Rav Moshe says the gzeira never applies to that case, and therefore that's reason number two why we don't have to kasher it, even if you would tell me that there's isser in those pots. Number three, the Tzitz Eliezer says that if there was a mixture of isser, it's batel b'shishim in the rest of the material of the kli. It's not bittel isser l'chadchil. You can't knowingly nullify something because the non-Jew is doing it in his factory. He doesn't care about this. If someone wants to be machmir on themselves, says to Tifliezer, maybe if you want to be machmer, do irui on it. Take boiling hot water and pour it on your new kalim, and that's fine. But more than that, he says, there's no reason to do anything more. Number four, the Minchas Yitzchak Dayan Weiss has a long tshuva about this. And he has a lot of, I didn't quote from most of his tshuva, because a lot of it is calculations about percentages based on research. But my assumption is that the research from 50, 40 years ago is probably not the same reality nowadays. So we're not going to get into all those percentages of how much of the oils contain which types of ingredients. But one point he makes is that the heat during manufacturing process is so strong that everything evaporates very quickly. It's not boleya, it immediately goes into the air. Essentially, the fire burns up the blios right away. And this is what Menashe Klein says as well. So Rabbi Belsky, in this piece in the Shulchan HaLevi, describes what he saw. Rabbi Belsky was a very hands-on posek. He would go and see the manufacturing process and really get involved. You'll see how involved in a second. So Rabbi Belsky went in 2002 to the manufacturing plant. And in the processing of the kli, they used the oils, he saw, in two stages. The first stage, which we're going to describe right now, is when the metal is being formed. It helps the creation of the metal form its pot. There's no issue, he says, because after the metal is formed, it is 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit. Okay? It is essentially a Liban Gamor right away. Right away, it's burning everything up. It's hotter than anything you can imagine that it's going to come in contact with. And therefore he says, like the Minchas Yitzchak, whatever blios are there, they're gone instantly. And that's not an issue at that stage. Let's talk about the second stage. And this is point number five. Rabbi Belsky says that the second time oils are used are when the kalim come out of the oven and they've been cooled. They are polished with these oils. So if you look inside a pot, it's very smooth on the outside, and it's not as smooth on the inside, because there's two levels of polishing going on. The polishers are similar to steel wool, and inside the kli, there's no polishing product. The polishing product is only on the outside. On the outside of the kli, they're used with drips of oil. And says Rabbi Belsky, it's true. It can have up to 12% of animal fats, of animal oils in that oil. Uh-oh. What do you mean? They're right. There's animal fats in our kalim. Says Rabbi Belsky. He says, the heat of the polishing allows whatever the oils are to be absorbed into the kli to give it that nice sheen, that shine that we like in our kalim. So Rabbi Belsky asked, what does it taste like? What does the oil taste like? So one of the workers went and he tasted it. And the worker said that it tastes like car oil. It tastes like motor oil. That's what it tasted like. So Rabbi Belsky said, well, if that's the case, let me taste it myself then. So Rabbi Belsky went and he tasted himself to show that it was pugum, that it was nifsal machil, it's not for human consumption. And he says, yeah, it's terrible. It tastes terrible. No human being would ever eat this. So Rav Asher Weiss writes here in the Minchas Asher that he heard from Tzvi Cohen. Tzvi Cohen is an author of a number of very chashuv halacha svarim from Bnei Brak. So in he has a sefer called Hagalas Kalim. So Tzvi Cohen told Rav Asher Weiss that he himself saw documents from accredited laboratories that attest the following as well regarding the content of these oils, that the tests show that the acidity level of these oils are extremely high. They are not for human consumption. They tried actually letting a hungry dog see if he wanted to eat this, and the dog was not interested. He was not interested. So says Rav Asher Weiss, in all Isurei Torah, all prohibitions, there's no more Isser, even Chametz for Pesach, if it's Nifsal Machilas Kelah. Usually for other Isurim, if it's Nifsal Machilas Adam, it's not for human consumption, then we don't have to worry about it. But even on Pesach, we're a Machmer, Nifsal Machilas Kelev. So it says Rav Asher Weiss, a dog won't even touch this stuff. So certainly it's not Usser. And therefore that's reason number five why the pot should be fine. And the sixth and the final answer is that many of the factories, they use vegetable oils. Now we don't know for sure what the percentage is, but it's certainly not a suffix if there's Isser in the new kalim. Meaning all of these points combined, it's probably vegetable oil. And it's nosin tam lefkam, all these things, and therefore Allah lamaisa, these posts come out to say that there's no reason for hagala on our new kalim for all of these different reasons combined. Okay, good. Go home and enjoy your dinner. Yeah.